Welcome to Redeemer, Episode 7, Sense of Destiny.
Welcome to Redeemer, the official podcast of the Marian Servants of the Redeemer. I am your host, Javier Plume, and with me, as always, is the director of the Marian Servants of the Redeemer, Adam Novotny. Adam, what's up?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It took us a while to get here for this episode.
Yes.
And so we're now in the new year. We're kicking off the year here with the podcast.
We took a little break, unintended break.
Little intended. There was some, obviously, some travel.
Yes.
We'll talk about that in
a minute. Also with me is Holly Novotny. What's up?
Good evening, Javier. Glad to be back.
How are you feeling? You doing good?
I'm doing excellent.
Are you relaxed?
I am, yes.
Would you like to know why?
Well, speaking of traveling, tonight Adam and I are having a little of our souvenir from our overnight in Ireland. We brought home some whiskey from Dublin from a little distillery called Roe and Company there.
Is that like a local distillery?
It's in Dublin. Yeah.
Wow. So you can't buy that here?
Well, that's what they tried to tell us. That's what we already were familiar with it because we
had it last
year.
Had
a bottle here and bought it in somewhere.
Just right here in Catonsville.
So we laughed at the guy who tried to tell us you can't get this in the States, and we said, well, the whole reason we're talking to you is because we've already had it and we love it. And so,
right. And we also have a very special guest on the phone today.
Very pleased to have with us Director of the Marian Servants of Divine Providence, Alicia Goodwin. Good evening.
Good evening, Adam.
Alicia, we're delighted that you could be with us. And part of the trouble we had was just aligning all the schedules too. It's another reason why we're here now.
I'm so glad that finally we're able to do this.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. The power of perseverance.
That's right. So, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from. It's called Bel Air. It's a little subdivision from Clearwater, Florida.
And how far away is that from the school?
It's about 25 minutes drive.
Oh, excellent. Okay. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you here with us, and we're just going to get the show rolling. And usually after this intro, we get into a hashtag Ask Redeemer. And I didn't get any emails. Did you get any emails, Adam, with questions for you or Holly or anybody?
No. So I should fake it and just make something up. So that people think I'm getting emails.
No, just be honest.
All right. I'll embrace virtue here and just be honest.
That's good.
I got nothing.
So if you have a question for Holly, for Adam, for any one of our guests, for myself, about anything, it could be about the Marian Servants. It could be about anything Catholic or anything at all. It could be about why we liked a particular kind of Irish whiskey. Just send us an email at redeemer@numinous.fm, or you can go to Twitter and do hashtag Ask Redeemer, and we'll be delighted to talk about.
But I do want to say, though, that those who are listening and then wondering, gosh, are they not getting questions or emails because no one's listening? We do want to let people know. We know you're out there. We do know you're listening because you do tell us, and also we have statistics in terms of, you know, downloads and listen. So we know we're not just speaking in a vacuum here. In spite of not having any emailed questions, we definitely know that people are listening. We'll keep asking for input and know that people send emails.
It could just be that we're so awesome at explaining things on the show.
I doubt that.
People are just like, hey, I have no questions for you guys. You're so great.
Right, Javier, you keep
crystal
telling yourself.
Crystal clear.
Yes, yeah. easy for you to say in Clearwater.
Yep. I think maybe people were shopping for Christmas and then they're tired from all of that. And so they haven't had time to, you know, write any questions down.
I think that's a good... That's a very diplomatic
response. We'll go with that.
Response.
Christmas. We're blaming Christmas.
So speaking of Christmas, let's we can segue to our next segment here. And I think, Adam, you want to talk a little bit about the Christmas season.
Knowing that people will listen to this like as soon as we release it, but then other people get introduced to it over time and come back to these episodes. Here we are now in January of 2020. We are just wrapping up the Christmas season. We just had Epiphany, and now this Sunday coming up will be the baptism. We skip 33 years and move right to his baptism. But it obviously makes sense if we're thinking about the birth of Jesus. And then on the heels of that, celebrating his baptism, even if in his case he was a man, as baptized there in the River Jordan, which is particularly, I can't help but bring this up right now, because we just, like 2 minutes before getting on the air, was watching highlights. The reason why we were in Dublin is because we were picking up our daughter who had been studying abroad in Austria with Franciscan University. So she was in Gaming, Austria, and we went to meet her at the end of the semester and then had an overnight in Dublin. So that's why we're in Dublin. And we were just now, right before this podcast, watching highlights that Franciscan University put together of the fall semester in Gaming, Austria. And one of the highlights that made the highlight reel was Veronica kind of renewing her baptismal vows in the River Jordan.
That's wow. So cool.
So how cool is that? As here we are talking about this Sunday being the feast here of the baptism of Jesus, and we were just watching this video, reliving this moment here where Veronica just had it. One of the excursions from Austria was to go to the Holy Land, and she renewed her baptismal vows and got dunked in the River Jordan. So that was cool.
That is.
It was fun
cool.
for us to be able to watch it. It was great for her to experience it. Fun for us to watch it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
One question I had, are we still allowed to say Merry Christmas, or is that done?
Well,
I think technically this week.
If you are Catherine Lopez, which I'm plugging because she was just in our last podcast, she's trying to get a movement to have Christmas officially recognized all the way up through Candlemas? What was?
Yes, Candlemas. Yeah,
February. Yeah. February 2nd, what the mm-hmm. I'm pulling that out. I could be wrong. Somebody February could send 2nd. Me an email. Yes, Alicia, it is February 2nd?
My understanding is February 2nd,
okay,
yes.
Thanks for backing me up. So I was just reading this article that she had posted about, you know, pushing, trying to still say Merry Christmas. So, but... I, you know, there are the one easy answer. Some would say you have the 8 days of Christmastide, and then others would say we have the 12 days of Christmas. And technically, this ends this week of Epiphany. All technically now until we get to Sunday. We could technically say that this is still, you know, Monday of a week of Epiphany, Tuesday of the week of Epiphany, Wednesday, all the way up till we get to now Saturday, the baptism, could still technically say Christmas season.
That's so cool. I mean, that's nice that you can keep saying Merry Christmas. Well, of course, you can always say it to other Catholics because everyone else is like...
No, everybody else, right. Yes, it means, right, they look at you funny and say Christmas is done.
Right. So. Very good. So what else are we talking about here, Adam? I think we want to talk about school, the school session coming up.
Just going to plug the fact that today is Thursday, so tomorrow, 50 students. Is it 50?
I think it's 49.
49. Somebody couldn't make it. 49 students will be descending upon Clearwater tomorrow to start their 16-day January session at the school in Clearwater, which is certifying spiritual directors.
Excellent.
Yeah. So we offer up all our well wishes and prayers for all the students, but also all of the teachers, all the spiritual directors, all the Marian servants, all those behind the scenes doing all the work. The Lord's blessings be upon all of them.
And we talked about the school. I think it was the episode was called Spiritual Boot Camp. I think we called it.
Yeah.
So if you are listening to this and you're like, well, what the heck is the school? Rather than repeat everything that we said on that episode, go check that episode out. It should be in the podcast feed or on the website at newminutes.fm/redeemer. You can learn all about the school. It might be kind of cool for an upcoming session to like have like some on the ground audio. You know, about like,
gosh, I wonder if that would be possible if anybody here at this table or on the phone would be, you know, there and could do such right. things. I'm actually
could try it.
Yes. Well, I figure maybe Javier will have to give me a little tutorial on how he wants me to record some stuff. I will go the middle of next week to be there for the bulk of the session, but because of my job and moving a kid to college, I can't go tomorrow, which is when everyone else will go. So I'll go next week.
Well, yeah. You know, you're going to be here for some of the best professors we have.
I am so excited.
With Christology and then Father Tim Gallagher teaching discernment of spirits. So it's going to be a powerful 16 days.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll get together and we'll figure something out. Because I think that would be really nice just to, even if it's just to collect some audio from some of the students and, you know, attendees and just little snippets here and there, nothing crazy. That might be really good for an upcoming show. So, okay. Yeah, we'll do that.
All right, Holly. You have your marching orders.
All right.
Speaking of marching, are you marching somewhere soon? Are you leaving the great state of Maryland?
As far as the next bit of, I guess, Marian Servant news would be there are a number of communities who will be gathering next month on February 8th. There are a number of communities in Louisiana and Mississippi. So they all band together and have their commitment day all together.
Oh, nice.
Which is fantastic. And they asked me to come and join them, which I'm delighted to, but I'll be playing music and leading some worship.
Oh, that's cool.
So, and Holly, I convinced Holly to come with me. And Alicia, I believe you're there too, right?
Yeah, I'll be there. It's a regional commitment day, and so it's important for me to be there. And so, God willing, if all goes well, then I'll be there.
So how? So it, obviously, it's all seven of the Louisiana communities, but then is it both of the Mississippi ones as well?
Yeah, you have Jackson, and you also have the other one. So, where are they?
So it's nine. So it's not. Is it? So if I have that right, it's nine.
No,
nine?
It's. Let's see. We have Thibodeau, two in New Orleans. One in Baton Rouge, one in Hammond. And so those are five. And then the two in Mississippi, so that's seven.
Okay.
Seven total.
Somehow I got one extra in
one
there
extra.
But okay.
Maybe that's the one that's coming.
Yeah.
That's right.
A message from the Lord. A prophetic word here on the podcast.
That's right.
That's actually very, very profound there when you say that. When you make a mistake, it could be a prophecy.
Well, in that case, we've had a bunch of prophetic words because we've made a lot of mistakes. But just shout out though to the Louisiana and Mississippi communities, and we look forward to being with you all soon for your special day, your commitment day.
Very good, very good. So let's go ahead and segue now to our main topic, which is just to have a conversation. With Alicia to talk a little bit about her background. So I think what we should start with this really is just to kind of maybe talk about your Marian servant story in sort of a, you know, somewhat concise way, but really, you know, how you got drawn to Marian servants. How did you come to know of the Marian servants? And let's maybe you can tell us, you know, where you were before and then how you kind of got to where you are now.
Okay.
Yeah. How quickly can you do all
how
that?
How quickly can I do it in? Let me see. We have, okay. Well, I better
seconds.
Start talking. Well, before this, before I joined the Marian Servants and got my degree in spiritual direction, I spent 25 years in the computer technology industry. And after retiring from there, I took an early retirement and I ended up in Marco Island and buying a place in Florida. And I had been at a retreat in Houston where I was discerned for spiritual direction. But I spent like a year and a half just kind of laying low because I was very tired from my corporate world. And then I started getting bored and thinking, you know, Lord, you told me spiritual direction, but I don't know anybody here. You know, I mean, everybody I knew was in Houston. And I just had that little conversation with the Lord. And that next weekend, I go to our parish in Marco Island. And the bulletin said, so-and-so is looking for a spiritual directee. And so I said, well, they must know how to become a director. So I picked up the phone and called and hit it off really well with Marianne Hansen, who told me about the school. And that's how I ended up there. So I ended up in Clearwater thinking that I was going to a school. And so I was prepared with books and pens, and, you know, getting ready to take all my notes. And little did I know, Mike Brown, that you guys know from Mississippi, he gets up there, you know, everybody's introducing themselves. And he starts saying things like, well, I've never bled so much in my whole entire life, you know, with his Mississippi accent. And and I'm thinking, what is this? What is he talking about? And so thankfully, Dionne Brown, the foundress, got up there and she said, you know, you're safe here. You're in the womb of the Blessed Mother. And that really resonated in my heart because previous December, the Lord had talked to me about praying in the womb of the Blessed Mother during Advent. And I thought that was kind of an odd image, but then I found it in St. Augustine's writings too. But at the time when she said that, it just said like, well, you're supposed to be here. Whatever it is, you're supposed to be here. So that's how I got to Clearwater. And I spent the first 16 days there. And the Lord did tremendous healing for me. And that's what Michael was talking about, because, of course, sometimes to get healed, you have to go back to memories that you don't want to really face too much. But the Lord does it gently, and he heals when you're in Clearwater, when you're here in the school. And so that's really what happened. I really had when I tell you, it was a major healing from a traumatic childhood experience. I'm not exaggerating it at all. It was like my outlook, my brain just worked differently. It was so complete a healing that I thought to myself, you know, everybody I know needs to go through here. You know, of course, you know, that was kind of an unrealistic expectation, but certainly when people come to school, it's really an incredible thing. You know, Pope Francis talks about that the Catholic Church is a mission hospital in the field. And I think that when you're there for the 16 days, it's kind of like the intensive care unit, you know, for an intense 16 days, the Lord just heals you and restores you and teaches you. And it's like having a one-on-one with him all the time. It's like, you know, and everything there's a synergy to everything that happens, whether it's the courses you're taking, whether it's the walks that you take as you're doing reflections. It seems to be coordinated to get whatever the message is that the Lord is trying to get across to you so that you can be healed and be free.
You know, it's very interesting because as you're talking, you know, I'm thinking about those that we've talked to already about the school and my own thoughts about, you know, what it would mean to be a spiritual director. But I think I kind of overlooked the fact or the idea that in order to be an effective spiritual director, it's not just about knowing how to direct someone, but it's about a transformation that has to also occur in you to be able to listen to the Lord, you know, so that you can help whoever it is that you're directing, right? But in order for you to be able to listen to the Lord, the barriers that are in your own heart, they have to come down. And so this idea of being healed and cleansed and wiped away, really, that makes a lot of sense to me now. You know, and is this sort of a common experience, Holly? Did you have a similar experience when you went?
It's the only reason I went to the school was for the personal formation and the healing, because as a Marian servant, I saw that happening when I was serving at the school. I saw people's experiences, and of course with Mom and Dad, they shared little bits of how people had transformed, and for me I didn't go to become a spiritual director. That was something that the Lord revealed to me later when I was healed enough to say yes. But it was really a revelation for me that this was a gift, not just for me personally and for my family that was going to benefit from my healing, but it that he was going to ask me to participate in this work with him as a Marian servant, but as a spiritual director too. Mm. So
we encourage everyone to consider the school, whether you're thinking you're going to be a spiritual director or not, because at the school, the emphasis is on prayer, which everyone can use. The emphasis is on inner healing, which everyone can use. And emphasis is on learning how to listen better and be really attentive in listening, which everyone can use. So for all those reasons, when people say, well, it's a school sounds great, but I don't know if I'm really going to be a spiritual director, we just say, well, still go, because there's apply at least, and then continue to discern, because there's wonderful fruit that comes out of going through the program in terms of what happens to you in interiorly. Yeah.
So how did you go from going to the school to eventually forming a community?
Well, that was an interesting process there. One of the sessions, the first session, there was a talk with Dionne Brown that she explained what the Marian servants were. And this is like, it was an optional thing, and I decided to go. And and talked about community, and then they gave us a copy of the Rule of Life to look at. And so I walked away with all those materials, and I came back to Houston with, you know, and just shared it with my spiritual director. And I mean, making sure that this was legit, that there was, you know, this wasn't a cult, right? It's like, I'm going, okay, I want to make sure that this is right. And so he looked at it and he says, you know, Alicia, there's everything here that I see is Catholic. I don't see anything that's wrong. And at the time we were a private association of the Christian faithful, which, you know, is a demarcation within the church. Now we're a public association which has greater ecclesial status, but
it's an approved cult. Anyway. It means we're an approved cult now.
No, don't say that.
We're not a cult.
Don't say that. This is why editing happens.
I didn't know what the Marian servants were. I mean, I went to the school, but then, you know, they're talking about the Marian servants and I saw them serving and I thought, I love these people. I mean, they're just loving people. Their spirituality is incredible. They're praying for us the entire time. They're serving us. And so I was attracted to the Marian servants. And so anyway, I was never a joiner per se. You know, it's like I wasn't like, oh, let's join this, let's join that. So I'm in prayer one day at the chapel at the parish where I went, which, by the way, the parish name was St. Ignatius of Loyola. And I was sitting in the chapel.
Shout out to St. Ignatius.
Yeah, Father Norbert. Shout out to St. Ignatius. And so I was sitting in the chapel and I read it and I felt comfortable, but you know, at the end I said, nah, I'm not the type to join these things. And I closed all the books and I was walking out and literally I heard the Blessed Mother in my mind. I didn't hear audibly, but it was something that stopped me cold. And she said, you are a Marian servant without a community. Hmm. And it was so true because, I mean, before I even got there, I was going to Mass often. I was going to confession. I was reading scripture every day. You know, all the things that the Marian servants were doing, I was doing in my regular prayer life, except the Liturgy of the Hours, which is the first time that I ever got exposed to it, was in Clearwater. And so when that happened, I kind of took a serious look at it and decided to apply. And that's how, you know, how it all, the ball started rolling.
And what time frame was that roughly?
Well, that was like I came to the school in like, I think it was the January session of 2004. And this happened like in the March time frame when I was, you know, finally made the decision to go apply. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I mean, of course, I finished my three sessions. But in that process, there was Gina Waters, who you had on as a guest. Mm-hmm. She, her husband, because of business reasons, moved from Baton Rouge to Houston. And so we got together, and because there was, I mean, nobody knew what a Marian servant was. You would have loved it. I'd go to parties and people would say to me, well, what have you been doing? And I'd try to explain what I was doing, and they'd look at me and say, oh, how nice. And then they'd walk away. Nobody kind of knew what I was doing. And so I went back for some event back to Clearwater one time, and Adrian Novotny, Adam's mom, says, you know, there's this woman that's moving from Baton Rouge to Houston. And so that's how we got together and started a community. We just started praying for about a year together and discerning if the Lord was calling us to community and what to name the community and so on. And that's how it all started in Houston.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history. Cardinal DiNardo gave us approval. You know, at the time, you know, the funny thing is we met him when he was an archbishop, right? And then 9 months later, he turned into a cardinal. So he really has been very supportive of the Marian servant community and our ministries. And we really appreciate that. And so we really started a great community there. And there's about 30 people there in that community now. And then I ended up coming here. So.
Well, the short version of the story there is you did so well in Houston that Dion said, come and lead. Come and lead Clearwater.
Well, the funny thing from the day I had no idea this was all going to happen. You know, I mean, I just went to get a degree. That's all I had gone to. And I do remember Dion, the first session that I was there, she came up to me and I have this medal of Our Lady of Guadalupe that is in the same shape as the medal of the Marian Servants Organization. And so she comes up to me. I mean, I didn't even know who she was. She comes up to me. She's looking at my medal like, who is this person who's a member and I don't even know her, right? But from the moment I met Dion, I just knew there was something very special about her as a individual and a very holy woman. And then over the years, she kept, you know, calling me, asking my opinions, what did I think about this and so on. And then a few years ago, like, let's say maybe like 5-6 years ago, she needed to, you know, she was getting on in age, and she said, Alicia, I need to have a person who will take over for me, and would you consider it? And I was floored, and you know, I prayed about it and talked to my husband about it, and we said, okay, we'll do it. And so, because we believe in what the Lord is doing. I mean, people say, oh, how could you do that and how hard it was? And I tell you, it was hard. We didn't know how hard it would be till you're here in a different city and you're all your friends and in the other city and so on. But there was no question in my mind.
That's very fascinating to me, you know, that transition from, you know, I have this thought to, is that thought from the Lord to, yes, it's from the Lord to, something really tangible as big as a move where you're selling property and you're bringing all your goods with you. And I'm always fascinated with like what the mindset is and what the heart is like in those moments where you have to make a very critical decision. Like when you're standing there with the pen in your hand saying, I'm selling my house because now I'm following the will of the Lord. Right. I mean, I want to, you know, get deeper into those kinds of discussions, which is why, like, I love talking to Marian servants. I love talking to people in general now about what it is that draws them to make those big changes. And, like, you know, how much of it is, you know, is just sort of determination versus, you know, just pure blind faith, you know? And I think every day I make small decisions, right? But I've never had to sit there and feel like I'm just absolutely drawn to do something for the Lord specifically that makes me do, like, you know, cross country move or something. You know, it's incredible to me to have that kind of faith.
The interesting thing here is that Javier and his wife moved to Maryland without friends.
You did it, basically. Just picked up and moved and trusted, and now here you are.
But it's a little different because I felt compelled to move for very practical reasons, right? But this is a little different. This is like, you know, she was very comfortable, you know, where she was. You know, she had a nice life. She had friends. You know, she had parties, apparently. And so it's very different to say, I'm going to leave all this, you know, that this known entities that I'm around all the time and do something completely and radically different than what I've been doing. That's, to me, that's pretty cool. It's very powerful, I think.
Well, it takes discernment, which Father Gallagher will be teaching at the school session this coming up in 2 weeks.
Javier, I think the main thing was when it's like you know that you're walking in God's steps, you know, and I felt when I didn't realize it when I came to the school, but over the years, I remember, and it's a process, right? I mean, I remember that Dion had asked me to be on the board. That was the first thing that happened years before that, right? So, and I'm on the board, and I went and I prayed in front of the Blessed Sacrament, waiting for her. She was speaking to somebody, and we were going to go to lunch. And I had a sense, and I didn't know what that meant at the time. I had a sense as I'm kneeling in front of the Blessed Sacrament, a sense of destiny that I can't explain to anybody, but it was just like a sense that came over me. And my interpretation at the time was, oh, you know, that I'm supposed to be a Marian servant, and how happy I was that the Lord had called me to be a Marian servant. And then that day when we go to lunch is when she popped the question, and I almost choked because I wasn't expecting that from her, to ask me to take over for her when she was ready. But then other things developed that, you know, the Lord gives you confirmation after confirmation. And I had had what the Marian servants meant to me and the school meant to me was so significant in my life. It really did such an incredible healing and transformation that I knew it was the Lord, and I knew that he was calling me. And my husband met Dion, met Adrian, met Ron, and he saw that God was doing something and that he really supported me in it. And so when it was time to make the move, I had finished my theology degree in Houston, and I came to Clearwater, and I was sitting in the chapel again, and all of a sudden I hear the Lord say, it's now. And I'm going like, what? Because, I mean, you know, Dion was still, you know, had great batteries, as I call it. She had energy and all this. And then I talked to Dion, and I talked to my husband, and when he said yes, that was the – he's the one that I think really deserves a lot of credit, because how many husbands would say to their wives, okay, let's go. And that's what he did.
Is it too early to proclaim him a saint?
You know what? Lee's on his way.
Lee's a good man.
I call him my Saint Joseph, really. He's wonderful. And so, so it's just that, you know that you know that you're walking in the Lord's steps. And then even though it's a little bit scary in a way, not knowing what you're going to be doing and how it's going to turn out, you kind of trust, you know. There's a mm-hmm. peace about it, I guess.
I like what you said there, that phrase, a sense of destiny. Mm-hmm. That's podcast title, by the way.
Sweet. Right? That's good, a good right? one. That's a good title.
But the idea that it's that sense, it's sort of like that awareness that which is really the Holy Spirit surrounding you, but then it's all those other things that come along with it, you know, those confirmations, the supporting cast that confirms those things, that prays for you, that, you know, carries you along. So that's really, really wonderful. And I think these are all little things that people can take away when they have doubts about what the Lord's calling them to do. You know, these are all little little tidbits of clues to help them, you know, in that discernment. And of course, they could just take the class, right?
Okay,
but you know,
or they could read his books.
They could read books, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now, in your current role. And I think we also want to talk a little about where you think the Marian servants are going.
Okay. Yeah, we want to take advantage of having you on to. You know, you could talk about what you see coming up possibly next for Marian mm-hmm. servants.
Well, you know, I think one of the things, the Marian servants for, you know, 30 years, basically, I mean, they were kind of a hidden secret. I mean, there's still people here in this area that don't really know that much about the Marian servants. Amazingly enough, because of the school, there's more people that know about the Marian servants outside of Clearwater than I think in Clearwater itself. And I think one of the things that was needed, there was a transition because of the growth that the community was experiencing and what the Lord is trying to do. And so what I thought would never be used again, I mean, when I left corporate America, I mean, I was in management and so on, and I thought, this is it. I'm leaving forever. Well, God uses everything, right? So I think the reason that he also brought me here was because I have some experience in organizational management and in structuring for growth. And so I think that was part of it. Obviously, the spirituality as well. That's why I really came here to begin with. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to make sure that we have the next level of structure and foundation for the community to keep growing. We keep getting interest from students that come to the school to open more communities. And so right now we're at 13 communities plus the mother community here in Clearwater. And right now we have a community under discernment in Canada. Mm-hmm. We have one in Wisconsin. There's another one in New Jersey I'm getting them a little confused right now.
But Canada, anyway, Canada officially makes us international, baby. So,
I really do think that, Dionne had a vision that the Lord gave her of going throughout the world. And I really think that that's going to happen, we're kind of like the Marian servants are kind of a beacon, of light. And I think the Lord is just bringing us out of our shell. And now it's almost like Jesus, he was kind of for 33 years, he was hidden. And then now, after 33 years, that's when he went public. And I think that's kind of what's happening to us. And we have people that have come from Nigeria to the school to, Ireland. You were talking about Ireland, Father Patty. There's so many different countries that have been represented, France, Mexico. I mean, there's just, I think we're really going to sprout out into international waters and more growth within the United States. I mean, my vision of it is that we will have at least one Marian servant community in every diocese of the United States. And I know that that sounds like, oh my God, what are you thinking? And I think, well, it may not happen in my lifetime.
Said that out loud to anyone else?
I'm not sure.
Well, we're going to say you heard it here first, people, that at least you just proclaimed a Marian servant community in every diocese.
I really think it's going to happen. I mean, I may not be around to see it. Hopefully Adam and Holly will, but I really do think that the Lord has plans to, to just seed the faith all over, and that we can be a tremendous help to the church. I mean, that's one of the things that we are, that we're very true and loyal to the magisterium of the church. And at this time when we're in, the church is hurting, this is when the Lord is calling us forth for a time like this. He's calling us forth to strengthen the church and to, as lay people, because the majority of our members are lay, we have some priests also and religious, but for the lay people to stand up and to hold on to the treasure that the Catholic Church has and to then promote it, and bring it out. So I really think that's where we're going. And I always feel this sense of urgency in my heart from the Lord to heal people. And that's how this community began. That's how Dionne Brown was first called to a healing ministry. And the Lord is just wanting to heal all these wounded people that all of us, have been wounded at some point in time. And, hurt people hurt other people. And somewhere we have to stop the cycle. And that's what Jesus does, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Jesus that does all of this, by the way. Mm-hmm. We just show up for duty, but it's the Lord that does the work.
Right. So, and it's just such a tremendous gift and grace to be able see it happening through the school, but also in each of the communities as the Marian servants accompany others and offer things in their parishes and in their diocese that they offer retreats and days of recollection and spiritual direction that really do bring those opportunities for healing for the laity, mm-hmm. especially without enough priests to meet one-on-one with those who are seeking to grow more in their own personal relationship with the Lord. That
yeah, there's no doubt that this time and age, you know, and not just in the U.S., you know, there is so much need for all kinds of healing. And I think a lot of the reason why, you know, there has been a reduction in the number of participating Catholics in the U.S. And maybe even the world is, you know, between the scandals, between, you know, parents who have hurt their children. When I encounter non-Catholics or Catholics who are no longer practicing, it's almost always because of something that's happened in their life that they're no longer, you know, they don't feel connected mm-hmm. to their church, but more importantly, they feel like they've been hurt. You know, I mean, I have friends that I've known who were hurt personally through the scandals, right? So this healing aspect, I think, is really, really important. And I'm glad that that's one of your themes, because I think it's a really powerful weapon that we have against the enemy.
Well, and you know, there's so many vehicles that the Lord uses for healing. And one of them is spiritual direction. Obviously, healing prayer is, you know, one of those tools that he uses. But I have to tell you, the spiritual direction process itself, that's how I got healed. I didn't get healed through anything else other than a spiritual director called Adrian Novotny walking with me and letting the Lord lead and show me the truth and unveil lies that the enemy has spoken to me as a child that needed to be healed and to be brought out to the truth. So spiritual direction is a strong vehicle for healing.
Feel free to add in canned applause there when she
yes,
mentions Adrian.
Yes. No, I'll tell you what, Adam and Holly are very fortunate to have some wonderful parents. Both Adrian and Ron are such servants of the Lord, and they were instrumental for me. You know, I thank God for them every day. I mean, they're just wonderful.
Me too.
And but anyway, the other thing I was going to tell you, Javier, was that one of the things that I see is that there's a need for like-minded Catholic organizations to join together and to network. To be able to strengthen each other and to help the church more. And that's why we're very conscious of the fact that we have a great relationship with Franciscan University, with EWTN, with the Institute of Priestly Formation. I mean, these are the organizations that, you know, we need to team together to be able to be that that force for good. In the world and in the church. And so I think that that's another thing that we want to make sure that we strengthen those partnerships.
That's excellent. I think that's a fantastic idea. You know, I think online, if you look at the internet culture, especially the Catholic internet culture, there's a lot of that happening right now where people are coming together because they're realizing that, you know, the breadth of the scope of the mission is so wide on the internet, especially. You know, mm-hmm. because you can cover anyone, anywhere, at any time, that you have to pool resources, you have to work together. So it's great to hear that you're looking to strengthen those relationships. Mm-hmm. So I guess before we wrap it up, is there really anything else that you want to say, maybe as a word of encouragement to some of the, you know, current Marian servants?
Well, words of encouragement is, I'll tell you what, Dion Brown had a great saying of saying that, you want to be tired when you go to heaven. You want to leave it all here for the Lord. And we want to bring as many people with us when we go to heaven as possible. And so we need to kind of revitalize and get that zeal back for bringing Jesus to the world. That's what we need to do. And he sends us many people, and we just need to be surrendered to his will, whatever, you know, he wants us to do, and very discerning. So the Lord has sent some wonderful people to become Marian's servants. You know, other people have other callings, but it's such a gift to have received a call to be a Marian's servant, and we need to prize, you know, to treasure it. And, you know, that would be my words of encouragement. You know, the Lord has done so much for us. We need to do everything that he would ask us to do, you know, in Amen. Return.
Amen.
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 More applause.
Right.
Right. All right. As a reminder, you can access links and more information about all that we've discussed on this episode at numinous.fm/redeemer/7. I want to thank all of you for joining us for this episode of Redeemer. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your questions or comments. Like I said earlier, you can reach us at redeemer@numinous.fm. And if people have questions for you, Alicia, how can they reach you? What's the best way to get to you?
Best way is email. My email is alicia.goodwin@divineprovidence.org. And may I say something to you, Javier? One of the things that the Marian servants are doing, one of the visions, is to use technology to get the message out. And you are doing a great service to the Lord and to the Marian servants and to all the others that you may be bringing along the message of Christ to the world. So thank you for doing that.
Well, that was awfully nice of you. And I also want to reciprocate the thanks, though, Alicia, in thanking you for giving us permission that you too have the vision. You know, we had this idea which sounded harebrained, and presented it to you, and you've blessed it and said yes, and we thank you for that permission, and we're honored to that you say yes, then to also, you know, come on our little podcast and talk with us. So thank you, and thank you for all that you're doing there in Clearwater.
No, thank you, guys. I think you and Holly and Javier are doing a great work. And so thank you so much for doing this. You know, the old folks, we don't know as much about technology as you guys do.
Well,
though I was in the technology business.
If you could sit here and watch us try to get this thing hooked up, you wouldn't think any of us know anything about technology, because
that's not true. Javier knows it all.
No, well, Javier knows a lot. But every time we have something wacky, right?
Something wacky. Yeah, it's always every a cable time. That goes bad or something. So it's all through the grace of the Lord that we can never get this done. So,
Amen.
You can learn about newminutes.fm on our website. We have some new shows coming very soon. I've been doing some recording, has some really exciting stuff coming up there. And if you'd like to learn more about the Marian servants, you want to go to divineprovidence.org, where you can learn all about the organization, the school. You can get some really great resources on that website. So I want to thank you all again for joining us. Adam, thank you.
Thank you.
Holly, thanks, thank you.
Thank you, Javier.
Alicia, thank you.
Thank you.
And God bless.
Bye, everybody.